So the time we have together, I want to take a look, Pirshus Harav. I wanted to take a look at one of the sections of the davening that we say many, many times, that we say well over 10 times over the course of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Chazar Sashatz. One of the most distinctive parts of the Yom Naram davening, and common to both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is the Uvechens. Throughout Aseres Metshuva, so we add phrases, as we know, to the Shemoneh Esrei, and the most ancient one, the most critical one, is Hamelech HaKadosh, a slight addition to the Bracha Vata Kadosh, and that's, as we know, throughout Aseres Metshuva, that's critical, because we see the theme of Malchus becomes a critical theme, a necessary theme in the third Bracha Shemoneh Esrei over the course of Aseres Metshuva. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we add more than just one word. We multiply the Bracha, a whole series of Uvechens, expanding on what things will look like L'Asid Lavo. We daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should transform the world spiritually. So the first thing that strikes us is that word, Uvechen. What are we supposed to make of it? So Chaim Friedlander points out that Avud Raham, a member of the Ramban's Beis Medrash, who wrote an entire sefer dedicated to the Siddur and to the Seder HaTfilah, drawing one of his major focus of Avud Raham was to find the Tanakh basis for the phrases that Chazal used in crafting the brachas and the davening. So he suggests the Uvechein, which repeats time and again over the course of the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, the Uvechein is meant to bring us back to Purim. The Uvechein is meant to bring us back to Esther. Uvechein avo al hamecha shelo kadas. And so she turns to Mordechai and says, I'm not comfortable. I don't think this is a great idea. Like right now I'm sitting in the Rav's chair and I feel very, very uncomfortable. So Esther was far more uncomfortable. So she was pachad mavis. I don't belong in the chamber of the king. But Mordechai, if you say I should do it, then I'll do it. So what that reminds us is to have that sense. To have that sense as well. Chaim Friedlander suggests that the significance is it reminds us that we enter into Shemoneh Esrei feeling we really don't belong here. I'm not sure why I'm here. I'm not sure why I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I have to. I was told I need to be here, and that's why I'm here. It's reminiscent of a nusach that Rav Soloveitchik used in suggesting that one needs license, one needs authorization to enter into mitzvahs in general and to tefillah in particular. The Rav suggested, and we spoke about this a couple of months ago, the Rav suggests if you read the language of the Rambam carefully when he talks about Birkas HaMitzvahs, you get the impression that a Birkas HaMitzvah is meant to be a matir. It allows me, it gives me license to do a mitzvah. It's the same way a bracha on food gives me license. Now I have permission from HaKadosh Baruch to eat, and now I have permission from HaKadosh Baruch to do a mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah is obligatory, but at the same time, I need license because who am I to think that I deserve to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who am I to think that that's a chutzpah? I think I'm going to arrogate to myself the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to arrogate to myself the right to do a mitzvah. It's an obligation, but it's also an incredible privilege. And then in terms of tefillah in particular, the Rav suggested that perhaps the Gemara insists we need to say Hashem Sevasai Tiftach, Ufi Agit Tehi L'Asecha, that introductory pasuk. The role of that pasuk, it's not a bracha. Shemoneh Esrei is composed of brachas. So the first bracha starts with Baruch Atah. So why am I saying Hashem Sfasa as a preface, as a prologue? The Rav suggested that what the Gemara is driving at is that I need a matir in order to daven. It's a chutzpah. I'm going to just walk into the royal chamber and say, I'm here. Let's talk. Let's sit down and talk about my day. So I need to ask permission. It's the way I knock on the door. I ask permission to enter. The matir for davening, license to daven, is Hashem Sevasai Tiftach. And what's interesting is the content of that pasuk. asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open my lips. Hashem sasai tiftach ufi agita zeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you open my lips? And then I'll be glad, fi agita yasecha, my mouth will be glad to speak your praises. But I need you to do this. And that's, Reb Chaim Friedlander suggests, that's the reference to Esther's uvechein. She says to Mordechai, I don't think I belong, but if you tell me I have to be here, so then I'm here. And it's with that, it's with that that we enter every Shmona Esrei in brief, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, and the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we do this in a much more expanded way. Uvechein tein pachtocha. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give your pachad. Uvechein tein pachtocha al kol ma'asecha. Ve'eimascha al kol ma'ashevrasa. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give fear. To give fear. To give awe. What does that mean? Upon all of your ma'as, all your creatures. All your creatures, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give. Tein. Gift us. A gift. Give us the gift of fearing you. Give us the gift of Yirat Shamayim. I was very taken by Chaim Friedlander. Has an entire, in his sefer on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, has an entire section, well over 100 pages, dedicated to Beyurim on the Machzor. I'll try to share at least some. We don't have time for 100 pages. Let's at least appreciate this line. So the Uvechein is my license to enter. So I'm knocking. I'm asking permission. And what do I ask for? The gift of Yirat Shamayim. He points out that there are other times we also use that, ask for a gift of Torah mitzvahs. Every single day in the Shacharis. The same b'libeinu bina, lahavinu lahaskil. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu, tein. Tein is give, a matana. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the gift of understanding. The gift. So there, it sounds like we're asking, as the Rav was just mentioning, Vasek Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me the talents, give me the resources, give me the capacity that I can invest into serving you. Give me the lahavinu, same libein lahavinu askil. Perhaps what we're saying there is, give me the wherewithal, give me the intellectual capacity, give me the emotional strength that I want to put towards your mitzvahs. But here, we're directly asking for Yirat Shamayim. V'chein tein pachtecha al kol ma'asecha. We're asking for a gift of Yirat Shamayim. What does that mean? What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating the universe and in then creating man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, we see it as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu took like a step back and create space for us to have free will, for us to have Bechira Chafshus. Some of the Kabbalists farm would refer to that as a tzimtzum. It's something that we used to do in the pre-corona days, and we'll do again in Mirtz Hashem in the post-corona days. That nowadays you walk into an elevator in an office building, and you know there's like spots in the floor like two or three people can stand. But in Mirtz Hashem, we should be zoch again to have to pack into the elevator. Right, so you pack in the elevator, and then the elevator's about to go, and then one more. Right, so what does everyone do? As though it actually helps, you all squeeze in. Right, they all squeeze in to make breathe in, breathe out, whatever it is, right, to make a little more space to fit someone else. So the term tzimtzum is exactly that. Metaphorically, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of like shrank back a little bit and allowed space for people to operate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. He didn't need the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe because he's interested in giving us the opportunity to be challenged and the opportunity to choose to live the way he wants us to live properly. So Kadosh Baruch Hu stepped back and allowed us, gave us degrees of freedom, gave us Bechir Chafshus, so that we have the capacity to really, to make choices and hopefully to make good choices. And that's why the Gemara says in Brachas, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Miyir Shamayim. Everything in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu except Yir Shamayim. What does that mean? Because the circumstances around us, the situations in which we find ourselves are often not of our own doing. The environment in which we find ourselves, often not of our own doing. But once we're in the environment, sometimes we can pick our situation too. But certainly once we're in a situation, stuff may have happened, but now that may have been Bidei Shamayim. But once we're in the situation, now the question is, what moral choice will I make? Better or worse, that's Hakol Bidei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling all the other pieces, but Chutz Mi'ir Shamayim. The Yir Shamayim, he leaves up to us. Are we going to choose right or wrong? So what are we saying? V'chein Tein Pachtachan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking him to give us the gift of Yir Shamayim. That's the one gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give. That's the one thing that's up to us. So what does that mean? What does that mean? See, he is, Chaim Friedland makes two suggestions. And I think they're both unpack into important ideas to mull over in preparation for Yom Neram and over the course of Yom Neram. The first, he suggests that something he doesn't reference in Mesilas Yesharim, and Mesilas Yesharim really talks about this. The end of the second chapter, Gemara in Moikat and Dafei talks about a pasuk in the Tehillim, the 50th chapter of Tehillim. V'sham derech arenu b'yesh elokim, which the Gemara understands to mean v'sham derech arenu b'yesh elokim. If I assess my path, if I don't just go through life haphazardly, willy nilly, just doing whatever, but if I'm living contemplatively, I'm sham derech. I'm calculating, I'm thinking, I'm deliberating what to do, and I'm choosing a path. I'm living with cheshbon nefesh. So the Gemara says, the pasuk is saying, if you live thoughtfully, so that's the key to success. If I just go through life blindly on autopilot, it's hit or miss. But if I make thoughtful decisions, so then I'm set up to really succeed, to really succeed spiritually and to emerge victorious from my life, to have created my own Olam Haba. Now, what's interesting though is the Gemara phrases that, it doesn't say Kol Hashamar Chos of any person who lives life with self-assessment, with self-evaluation. So he's a tzaddik or he's a ben Olam Haba. Instead, the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, "Ar enu b'yesh elokim." If you live life contemplatively, so then zocha v'roa b'yishua asor shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will merit to see Hashem save you. What's the connection? Just say, if you're shamar chosav, you'll be a tzaddik. You're shamar chosav, you'll get olam haba. What's with that? Hashem will save you. So the Ramchal says, if you read that pasuk and the Gemara with nuance, the Gemara, it's telling you two important lessons. And lesson number one is that you're not going to succeed in life. One's not going to live properly if there's no cheshbon nefesh, if there isn't thought, if there isn't shamar chosav. But then there's a step two. That's necessary, but it's not sufficient. I have to take that first step. I have to choose to do the best, to make the right decisions. But that alone is not that's not a magic bullet. Life is tough. The Yetzirah is very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu crafted Olam Hazeh such that it's really hard to succeed. We have so many Yetzirah Hara. So if I take the right, if I make the first step, not just now you're a tzaddik, if I make the first step, the next step will be Zoche V'roi B'Shosu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then I'll merit to Siyata D'Shmaya. I need that divine assist. I need to do my part. My part is necessary, but not sufficient. I need to do my part, and then I can look forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me the assist and pulling me across the, helping me across the finish line. So the truth is, what emerges from that is that to daven for Yir HaShamayim makes perfect sense. It's not enough. I can't just sit back and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take care of it. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to try. But I also have to realize that my hishtadlus, my spiritual hishtadlus, is absolutely necessary, but not sufficient. I have to do work on my part and also daven for siyata d'shmaya. I have to daven for divine assistance, not only in the physical aspects of my life. I have to daven for divine assistance in the spiritual aspects as well. That I'm gonna deploy my bechira chafshus as best I can, and I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should help me, that He should shower assistance, the siyata d'shmaya, upon me. So that's one approach. And the other approach he suggests is, it's true again, if the question is, how do I ask for a gift of Yirah Shamayim? It's on me. I have to deploy my free will. So he says, yes, you have to deploy your free will. And maybe the decision you have to make is to daven. Maybe sometimes that's what you need to do. Go ahead and I chose to daven. I'm choosing to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to help me with it. That is my Bechir Chavshus. There'll be situations where it's really beyond me, but I can daven. I think there's mulling over this line gives us so much to think about. It brings to mind the necessity of our hard work, the necessity of our crafting visions for ourselves, ambitious visions, and the necessity of us planning and working and struggling with our Yetzirah and then struggling again. And sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail and we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we try again. And our hard work is critical. And Siyata Deshmaya is also critical. And that reminds us we have to daven for Siyata Deshmaya. And that's also recognizing that our own efforts are insufficient is actually very heartening. It's actually a very optimistic thought. Because it means that we can accomplish things that don't seem possible to us. That mountain, that spiritual mountain seems too high to scale. I could never do that. The answer is, that's true. That's the way it usually is. But we do some, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us an assist. So we can dream big. We're going to need Siyata Deshmaya, and we can expect, we can hope, we can daven for a Siyata Deshmaya that will boost us beyond what we could do on our own. And then to recognize the Koach HaTefillah. Certainly now is it true all year long, but now in particular, for us to recognize that there are a lot of things in all areas of our lives, of our life, in the spiritual side, the physical side, to remind ourselves that when I'm trying to figure out a knotty problem, how are we going to handle a situation, part of the answer is daven. Sometimes even spiritually, and certainly physically. Part of the answer is, what am I doing to get Yirah Shamayim? Well, sometimes maybe this, maybe that. Sometimes choose to daven. That's something that we can do. Something that we can do to help ourselves. And hopefully this was an opportunity to, again, to bring out a number of critical ideas. And as we began with to recognize the magnitude of Avodas Hashem in general, to recognize the magnitude of the opportunity to daven in particular, and at the same time to recognize that we spent close to 20 minutes on one line, on one phrase that Chazal gave, one of the many, many, many gifts that Chazal gave us in the Machzor. And I would say perhaps one thing to think about is particularly for those who will find themselves davening at home this year, and perhaps davening at home this year more so than in past years, is it's an opportunity to savor the davening. And it's an opportunity. Sometimes less is more. And sometimes, Tov ma'at b'kavana, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, meharbe shelo b'kavana, to say less, better. There's so much to be drawn from every line of davening. Thank you so much.